hastening the day of God. A couple of months ago, I was struck with this phrase. The Word of God is alive and powerful and continues to speak to our hearts and minds. And this particular phrase stuck out strong in my thinking and has been ever since. Even in 30 years of mission work doing it, I wasn't really conscious of the fact that we can hasten the day of God. Do you understand that? Do you believe it? Peter talked about it. So as a church and as individuals, are we ready to hasten the day of God? We find this in 2 Peter, and I read, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar." By the way, have you ever tried to light a barbecue and wait too long? Boom! Like that, billions of times, the way things are going to be disappearing, according to that basic word meaning there. "And the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be burned up. Since everything is to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." Now, the beginning of this passage, you notice, "day of the Lord." And then at the latter part, "day of God." And within these two phrases, the wonderful Apostle Peter has encapsulated all that is to take place after Christ has returned to take up his church. So Peter's referring to the next phase, when God the Father and God the Son, as it were, hands-on, deal directly in judgment and righteous reigning following this period. Today is the day of grace. It's the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. It's the age of the church. "I will build my church," said the Lord Jesus, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Do you believe that? You do, don't you? Because that's why you're here this morning. And when did the Lord Jesus Christ begin to build his church? Day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down out of heaven, baptized 120 people, gathered together in the name of Jesus, and Jesus became the embodiment of the church. He is the body of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. Just stop and think for a little bit. Who co-created everything? Billions of stars out there, and the DNA and all the complexity is subatomic. And that very same person is alive in you and in me. Can you grasp that? I can. I accept it by faith. It's wonderful and powerful in reality. And he's got a beautiful plan for this world. And we have a marvelous opportunity to share in that very good work. The Lord Jesus is our hope of glory. And by the way, if you are persecuted a bit, and Hugh was talking about in Pakistan and other countries where you really get persecuted, but remember this. Satan persecuted Jesus while he was upon the earth. Satan continues to persecute Jesus, who is in us. So if anything happens to us, it's collateral. It's Satan versus Jesus, and Jesus is more than powerful and victorious in us. Amen? Now then, we said the church began the day of Pentecost. There's going to be a time when it's going to end. When's that? We read about that in Romans chapter 11. I read, "Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. And once this has happened, all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob." As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as the election is concerned, they are loved on the count of the patriarch. We have a difficult time wrapping our mind into the mindset of the first Christians who were Jews. Let's try to think of it for a bit. First generation believers who are Jews. And they can look back 1,800 years when the Creator God chose a particular man to bring forth their whole race of millions. They can look back 1,400 years when God spoke through Moses and gave them both the opportunity and pattern for worship and how to live the laws, principally the Ten Commandments. And now, our God, our Messiah, is to be shared with these pagans around us. And that was the mindset. Paul had to have a special vision of the Lord Jesus to overcome that narrow mindset. And Peter himself also had to have this vision to overcome that. But there is a coming a time when the final Gentile nation will have been reached, and Christ Jesus will return into the clouds and take up his earthly body, if you will, to be with him. And we all anticipate that. Meanwhile, we have a big job to be done. So, what is the great Apostle Peter telling us that we should do? That we should live holy and godly lives as we look forward to the day of God and speed its coming by Holy Spirit living, Holy Spirit giving, and Holy Spirit praying. Now, when I put the Holy Spirit in front of all that, as a recipient of the eternal grace of God, as a newborn creature in Christ Jesus, Spirit filling is not for a few periodically. It's for all of us all the time to be consciously aware of our relationship with the Creator God in all that we're thinking, doing, and saying. And so Holy Spirit living, giving, and praying is our focus today. Now, let's evaluate our job, the job that we have to do. Look at this pie chart. 7.6 billion people on the earth today. Just note the red, that's the Islamic part, 31%, 21% recognized, 33% in the green, supposed to be Christian. But that is all of Christendom, including Catholic, Orthodox, various patriarchals, and so on, including even Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, etc. So that's not a very realistic picture. So we look to this now in the numbers, current numbers, and we want to see that the evangelical Christians are estimated at 746 million. 7.6 billion people. What does that mean to you? Let's try to put it down into an illustration. Supposing the pretend with me now, 7.6 billion people minus the evangelicals begin marching. And their ranks are 100 deep. And two ranks can pass a given point every 1 minute. It would take 65 years and 6 months for all of the people of the world to pass by. By that time, more are being born. And so it's an overwhelming task, but we have amazing capabilities of reaching today, and that's what we're going to look at now. Just have a look at this particular chart. The green segment illustrates the portion of the world that's been significantly reached, then follow around to the red, counterclockwise, and you come to that red portion, which signifies the unreached peoples of the world, 41.6%. And our gracious God has given us tools to reach the whole world in this generation. Well, maybe not ours. We're not long for this world, are we? 3 score and 10 plus, we're all on overtime. But for all of you younger folks, just think of it. For instance, travel. From the time it took Jesus to walk from Capernaum down to Jerusalem, we can go around the world two times. And some of the tools that are available we're already supporting. SAT-7. Let's see what SAT-7 says. Through our 5 satellite channels, this is free channel, by the way, through our 5 satellite channels, we are reaching millions in 25 countries in a part of the world where over 300 million people have satellite dishes and are potential viewers of our inspiring programs. 8 years ago, I was in Cairo, Egypt. And this is typical, all of the proliferation of satellite dishes all over the rooms. And so people who are in closed country like that, this is one way of reaching out to know what's going on in the rest of the world. Marifa is another mission that we are serving. And every quarter, they come out with statistics. Kind of too many there, but let's highlight just a few. In this last 3 months, website visits, 1.1 million. Website pages, 1.5 million. Films and downloads, 2,174. Bible downloads, 15,900. Not something? Can't you say praise the Lord? Well, thank you. Really and truly. I mean, this is amazing. When the Word of God is released in the heart languages of people, man, you don't know where it's going to finish. Well, we do, in glory. And so they're doing, and then face, and then next face-to-face meetings was 105, and new Christians, 86. Now, 3 months, 86 new Christians in very harsh, anti-Christian world. Not bad statistic. And we praise God that we can support them. Global outreach is another aggressive and formerly Campus Crusade. You remember Caitlin Moyer was serving with this. And notice this. This is on their website. Your dime travel, how it works. Your dime travels the globe, helping people to see online ads and to visit gospel websites that we have created to share Jesus. And people who are searching for answers and open to learning more about Jesus connect with an online missionary. People reach so far 1 billion. 1 billion. Very aggressive. Information is available so quickly worldwide now, and new tech, high-tech capacity coming out all the time to communicate the wonderful truth of the living God. Radio, another very significant outreach. 500,000 downloads in China in 1 month of online broadcast. That's Trans World Radio, which we help support. And the Far Eastern Gospel Company and the Gospel for Asia, two major missions, each receive 1 million responses yearly. You're getting overloaded with facts. The whole impact here is to see how God is working beautifully today. And then the Jesus film. The Jesus film. The Gospel of Luke, which is, of course, put into a film. Available in 1,600 languages, 5 billion showings, and 3+ million people have been exposed to this dynamic understanding or presentation of the gospel. And I know personally, Wycliffe Bible translators, as soon as they translate the Gospel of Luke into their target language, the next thing to do is to dub it into the film and to get going with that. And Wycliffe Bible translators has this intent. Wycliffe Bible translators, an interdenominational nonprofit organization, with a stated goal to see a Bible translation program in process in every language, still needing one by 2025. We can pray this into reality. The stats for today in Bible translation go like this. Completed Bible, 670. New Testaments, 1521. Selection and Stories, 1121, with a total of 3,332 languages with some scriptures in them. Can I hear another praise the Lord? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Right. So what did the scriptures tell us? The scriptures are telling us, how do we speed the coming? Speed the coming by Spirit living, Holy Spirit giving, Holy Spirit praying. Quickly, Holy Spirit giving. The New Testament teaches proportional giving. I'm reading 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one should give what was decided in the heart to give, and not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In the Old Testament, we have tithe, 10%. Actually, the Old Testament tithing was 20%. And this is a good starting point. But in the New Testament period of time, The Spirit of God is within us, and thus it is proportional giving. Let's illustrate this. If a person's making $90,000, her family's $90,000 a year, they have $81,000 left over for various other things if they'll give 10% to the Lord. Surely a person can live handsomely on that, but also be giving more to the Lord from that $81,000. And the general rule of thumb we suggest, first 10% to your local church, and from there on, gifts to missions and missionaries, and you can have a direct intent and investment therein. In contrast, if a person's only making $30,000 a year, and they have $27,000 to live on, maybe even 10% is a bit heavy duty. But they can give proportionately. But we always remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So God is able to make all grace to, look at this, God is, hey, let's read it together. Can you see it? Stress the word all. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I mean, you can't go beyond that, can you? Praise God for how He supplies all of our needs, plus, plus, plus. So, vision. Live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. How do we speed its coming? Holy Spirit living, Holy Spirit giving, Holy Spirit praying. You are there, prayer. Paul had never visited Colossae nor Laodicea, but this is what he writes. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. Though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Now, the great Apostle Paul did not use some kind of astral projection to arrive there. I am 100% sure he was so involved, concerned for their needs, that he could picture himself. You are their prayers, what I'm talking about. Maybe you say, Lord, praise him, Lord, bless our missionaries. Is that a good prayer? It's the Lord's business to bless people, isn't it? So ask them to bless the missionaries, just ask them to do what you're doing. How realistic is that? But if you will picture yourself in the place of where that individual is, or a whole group that you are aware of, a people group, and that they need the gospel, and you project yourself, as it were, in your mind, your spirit, Holy Spirit, to that place and feel them. For instance, take Martha Oates. I'm pretty sure it's pretty hot and human in Tapai. And she's working through a language which is second. And whatever. Try to picture yourself with these individuals as we pray for them. And you can lift your spirit through heaven to help them, for sure. This is, you are their prayer, so I'm calling it. I'm going to ask you a silly question. Can a butterfly in Brazil cause a tornado in Texas? In 1961, there was a researcher at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, researching weather systems. He was trying to determine, find, and quantify all the elements involved in producing various weather systems, patterns. He happened to round out a number of his computer and up come a whole new set of possibilities. This is the birth of the study of chaos. The study of chaos. In publishing this breakthrough, a reporter came up with the catchphrase, can a butterfly in Brazil cause a tornado in Texas? The study of chaos is an attempt to discover and quantify all the elements involved in very complicated elements, such as weather system, stock market, etc. Now, I'm quite sure, as you are, a butterfly in Brazil cannot influence a tornado in Texas. But I'm just as sure that a little old person like you and me can impact someone else on the other side of the world. Jesus has the whole world in his hands, and it's us, as we realize and think of ourselves out yonder as we're praying, that we can send our prayer to heaven and to these people through heaven. So, the most important kind of praying is that this kingdom would come. God's kingdom would come to this earth, hastening the day of God, hastening the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful, wonderful privilege to be able to do that, right? I happen to have a little booklet I put together here a couple of years back, and it talks about these things, and if you would like it, please come and get one afterward. So to wrap it all up, we are to live holy and godly lives, and how do we speed the coming? Holy Spirit living. Holy Spirit giving. And with me, say it, Holy Spirit praying. Let's pray. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for such wonderful truths that we can't even understand what we're saying, really. It's so vast and great, but we can grasp something of your truth and reality and communicate to others, both around us, as we live spirit-filled, controlled, guided, directed lives. And as we give under the direction of your Holy Spirit, worldwide as well as for our local church, and as we continue to live in prayer, and see great things happening all around the world because you are in control. In you we live and move and have our being. Lord, impact each of our lives this day with your reality and the need of the lost, the horror of hell, the joy of heaven in Jesus' power. Amen.